So much. So here we are. We are in our month of creativity, as you heard from Janie's reading. And so this month is, our theme is the courage to be creative. And we're looking at how by consciously engaging in creative living, now notice I didn't say artistic living, creative living. So I don't want you to imagine that you have to walk around with a beret and a palette and a striped shirt. Get the picture, yeah. You don't need to do that. We're not talking about being artists. We're talking about being creative. And we know that we are all creative. We are all capable of bringing something new, rearranging something in a new way, bringing something new in our life. And that energetic, the energy of engaging in creative living, makes a huge difference in our lives. And so it's the difference between having a mundane experience and an enchanted one. Right? So there's the idea that I'm trying to put out for us this month is that the day-to-day path of your life might not look any different, but the quality of it and the experience of it will be completely different. You see the difference? You with me so far? Okay, yes? Are we asleep? I can't see you today. Okay, good. All right. Well, okay, you're with me. All right. So so what that means, so today we're looking at healing your life with creativity and what healing is. And how we can use that engaged living, that being open to bringing something new into the world through us and as us, looking at our lives as the blessing to the world, right? You are a blessing to the world just as you are. You are needed. You are called forth into being. And you have something to share. It's not a purpose as you have something to do. You've got an assignment. You got to go do it. No, you have something to be. And the unique individual in all of our quirky glory, that is a spiritual term, it is necessary for the wholeness of this world at this time. So what we're trying to do is to get energized, I almost said get off our tushies, but get off our butts into life, you know, instead of sitting back and letting life kind of get into its monotonous humdrum rotation here. That we engage in bringing forth something new through us and as us. And when you do that, that is when we open channels of healing. That's when we open channels of bringing light and fresh energy and a new way of being to the areas of our life where we're challenged. And so I thought we would talk about healing a little bit. Because at different times, there's always a need will come up that we feel like we need healing for. And whether it's a physical situation, whether it's an emotional difficulty, a challenge in one of the aspects of our lives, whether it's a dance with depression, whatever it is, there is a call for some healing. We feel like we need something. And I know I can say that we are a very diverse group of people sitting in this room, but I know that there's one thing that keeps us in common, and that we are seekers. For you to have found this place and found your way, there is a part of you that was seeking something, whether it's a connection to something that's familiar, whether it's a new way of seeing, whether it's wanting to change something in your life. There was something that was that original impetus that made you look, whether it was this week or 25 years ago, that made you start to look for something else in your world, and that's what brought you here. So in seeking, there's something that we want to heal. There's something that we want to change. And the way that we in religious science look at healing, as Ernest Holmes, the founder of religious science, says, he says, healing is not accomplished through willpower, but by knowing the truth. This truth is that man is already perfect, no matter what the appearance may be. And so there's a catchphrase in Science Mind, and anybody knows that I hate those little quips and catchphrases, but healing is actually revealing. We're not trying to change something. We're not trying to fix something. We're not trying to make it better. What we're trying to do is reveal the wholeness, reveal the perfection, reveal the truth that's already there. So I'm going to do a little teaching for a second here, which is that our philosophy believes that everything is whole, perfect, and complete just as it is. And that's why it's hard for some people to kind of understand that, and I encourage you to get into class. That's where we dig in. We push up our sleeves and we dig into how this works in our lives. But the basic idea is that things are perfect and whole and complete just as they are. We are the ones that put our fears, our sense of limitation, our ideas of lack, our ideas of not being good enough, on top of this perfection, and that manifests as what we need to heal. You following me? Talk more? Okay, all right, so do I need to explain that more? Okay, all right, so this is the idea that healing is not fixing something. Healing is revealing the truth that's already deep within you. You are perfect at the core of your being. You have everything you need to bring forth what it is that you're wanting to bring forth or that's being called forth in your life right where you are. But we think ourselves out of it. We think ourselves into an idea that we are weak, that we are limited, that we are not smart enough, that we are not good enough, and all those enoughs. It's the enough syndrome that we all have, that we operate with, that we're not enough in whatever way is your particular way of putting it together, whatever's on your palate, plate today, is yours. And so what we are called to do is to unthink that, is to remember the truth of who we are. And when we remember the truth of who we are, all of that other stuff fades away. All of it disintegrates. And then there's this whole new way of seeing and being engaged in the world, and that's where healing comes from. And it's in the physical realm, it's in the emotional realm, it's in the mental realm, it's in the spiritual realm. We always go back to the truth of who we are, and as we deepen in that knowing, everything else starts to align to it. That's what we're talking about when we talk about healing. Now, I was inspired, I've came across a quote from Martin Luther King Jr. that I had never read before. And I've been sitting with this for a week and a half, and sitting with it so much because it made a big difference to me. Now this came from, he was asked to speak about his experience. This is early in the 60s, maybe 61. And so by then, he had already been maligned, he had been arrested, he had been detained, and he was actually already stabbed by then. So he had been through a lot, right? Up until that moment, he had been through a lot. And this is what he said. He said, as my looking back on that period of time, he said, as my sufferings mounted, I soon realized that there were two ways in which I could respond to my situation, either to react with bitterness or seek to transform the suffering into a creative force. I decided to follow the latter course. So imagine for a moment if he had chosen the other course, if he had chosen bitterness, if he had allowed his hatred and his pain and his anger to solidify into bitterness, what that next path would have looked like. Now, it's a valid choice. You can understand how someone would go that way. But we can also see how powerful it was that he chose creatively to engage in life rather than to do the downward spiral, right? A lot of times I talk about how we are at choice, and we can either spiral down into that smaller perspective, that smaller way of being or seeing in the world, and then we get solidified in. Everybody, think about someone in your life. Don't point at them if they're sitting next to you. But think of someone who's like, we know people who are like that, right? Who just go into, there's some trauma or difficulty in their life, and it makes them close up more rather than to expand. And think about the person who can be hit with a challenge and then goes into possibility. See, think about that for a second, about that different of the energetic. And the only difference is a choice. It's a choice in seeing, in living from the fear or living from the possibility. And the difference in that is when we practice living creatively, when we engage in creative thinking, when we engage in creative living, when we engage in creative possibilities, that's when everything opens. That's when we have an opportunity to bring fresh energy in and have the experience of healing. So my point is that each of us is responsible for our own healing. It's not the doctor. It's not the drug. It's not the psychotherapist. It's you who's responsible to choose how you are going to heal. You know, so often, and for those of you who have been around for a little while know I can speak to this with authority, but there is a when there is a diagnosis given, when you are sitting in a situation and a doctor in a white coat is telling you, good luck with that, or you better get your stuff in order, or you might want to think about how you want the end of your life to be, or whatever, you know, whatever the diagnosis is, you give them all of your power because they're the one in the white coat. With me? And that's the last thing we want to do, because they don't know you, and they don't know that you come here. That's what I want you to know, is they don't know that you come here, which means that you have an opportunity to see differently, to open to different possibility, to have a power and a presence that is bigger than the doctor that is there to guide you and support you. And I'm standing here living proof that that's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. And so the idea is this, is that when we move into a place of seeing differently, when we move into a place of possibility, it's this and. So, of course, I am not saying that you should not trust your doctor. And I am not saying that you should not take the drugs that they tell you to take, because you know what? You should. You have to make an informed choice. And we are all waking up to the fact that it's our responsibility to make sure that we are checking what they're saying is correct, and that we're following what we're supposed to follow. So I in no way am saying that you should not go to doctors. That's not what I'm saying, okay? But what I am saying is that when they tell you something that's limiting, you need to say, you don't know me. You can think that that may be one way that it could unfold, but you have no idea about all of the other creative power that I have going in my life. Because you have an infinite creative source that wants you to live and express yourself fully. And so this is in any area of your life. Now, we talk about in practitioner, when we train practitioners and we talk in ministry, what people are called into church for are a few, like a handful of issues. It's health, relationship, finances, work, and creativity. That's them, okay? So that's your smorgasbord of issues that most people have. Now, you may have something else, you know, it may be something else. But for the most part, it's one of those things. And so there's healing possibilities in every single one of those areas. But it always comes from you. It always comes back to your perspective. Now, there's this thing called, there's this new emerging science that I love that is confirming and supporting our teaching. And it's neuroscience, all right? And so this is what happens. As we get into when we think a thought, okay, and we have this whole system of connections and neurons and all of that. I'm not going to get that close into it, that specific into it. So I'll give you the overview. And so what happens is when we have a thought, we lay a little track. It's like laying a little track for the thought to move into our cells, right, in our brains, the way that our brains work. And so we, as humans, are tend towards habits of thought, right? Following me? So what happens is when you have a habit of a way of thinking, when you look at the world a certain way for a certain number of years, and let's say most everybody in this room, except for there's a couple littles in here, but most of us have laid some deep tracks by now. Because we have thought a certain way, we have related to life in one certain way for most of our lives. And it's multiple years, let's just say that. You're all really young. So, but the best thing about our brains and what they're discovering in neuroscience is that there's something called neuroplasticity, which means that our brains are actually malleable enough that you can set different tracks. You can think differently. And what happens is you pop out of those ruts of thinking into a new way of being. But it takes practice, and it takes conscious attention to change our thoughts. So if you are thinking the same thing, and let's take one of those beliefs that we have, so I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I just don't measure up. I'm not good enough. And if you have been thinking that about yourself since you were a child, that is a deep rut by now. It is a very deep rut. It's almost as deep as the Grand Canyon in your brain. So what's it going to take to make a new track that says, I am capable of anything I want, right? First of all, you got to get yourself out of that deep rut to get over to the place to dig a new track. So it takes practice. That's why we talk about our spiritual practices, our meditation and our affirmations and our prayer work, to remind ourselves that we are different, that we have to think and use our will to hold true to the truth rather than what our habit of thought is. So you see, that's the work. It's a lot of work. Because we can fall back into that habit of thinking Very easily, you can fall back in that rut. But our goal is to dig a new ditch, okay? A ditch of joy, a ditch of inspiration, a ditch of possibility, a ditch of a new perspective. And so it's time for us to get those shovels in our brain. That just came to me. I don't know what that means. That's like, I don't know if that works, but I hope it works for you. Okay, good. It works for one person, then I did it. All right. So the idea here is how you relate to your situation is going to make all the difference. Will you get stuck in the rut of bitterness and blame? Will you go down that downward spiral? Or can you rise into a new way of thinking? Now, the challenge is when we're in the middle of a challenge, we can feel disengaged. You can feel powerless. You can feel like life is taking you. And again, I can speak from experience on this. When something big happens and it feels like this isn't what I thought I wanted, this isn't what I was said, this isn't where I was headed, you can feel like life is taking you a different way and it's against you. And so what we need to do is to engage in experiences that are going to remind us that this is taking you to where you need to be. This is opening you to understanding yourself in a different light. That these situations are there for your good, not to hurt you. So we believe that everything that we call into our experience brings forth an aspect of our being that needs to be expressed. So whether it's trust or faith or knowing who you are, whether it's opening to new perspectives or trying something new, that's the path for you. You have everything inside of you. Your courage, your power, your creative force, your possibility is all right where you are, and what we're doing is healing, which is revealing that. We want to bring it forward. It's like the image I'm getting is popping out of the cake, not the alien popping out of our bellies, but popping out of a cake. You know, I've got all those images popping out of my head right now. So it's the fact that you are not powerless, and you are not alone. And that's when that is the difficulty of what comes up when we are challenged. Because the first thing that our impetus is to hold back. When we face a challenge, we don't want people to know that we're challenged. When we get sick, we don't want anybody to know that we're sick. Because we don't want to be judged as being less than. If we're having a challenge in our work or in our relationship, we don't want anybody to know that. We put our big facade up and we say it's all good. But that's the worst thing we can do for ourselves. Because it affirms the fact that we are separated. And Ernest Holmes also says that the only thing that we need to heal is the false idea that we are separate from the divine. And so when we lean into life and when we open and allow ourselves to say, look, this is who I am and this is where I am, whether it's to a trusted friend, whether it's to one of our practitioners, whether it's to someone who knows you so well that you can be vulnerable enough to say, this is who I am, this is where I'm at, and then you can realize and see that you are truly not alone and that someone else can see the truth about you when you can't see it about yourself. And so the idea is to be vulnerable, to be open, and to be present with who you are. We need to be able to listen to that intuition, because if we have everything we need within us, we just need to hear it. Again, we need to be present enough to be able to allow ourselves to hear it, to hear that inner voice, and to trust it, to say, you know what, that doctor doesn't feel right to me. They don't see me for who I am. We have a choice. You have a choice. You can change your doctors. You can change the way that you are in your world. And that is healing for you, because that's an empowerment when you're standing in the truth of what you know to be true for you. This isn't working for me. I've said that a couple of times. This isn't working. This relationship isn't working for me. I need to make a shift here. And because someone didn't see me for who I knew I was and where I knew I was in my healing process. So what it reminds me of is that the Robin Williams movie Dead Poets Society, in that scene where he makes the students stand up on the desk to take a look at the classroom from a different perspective. I'm not going to stand up on the piano, John, so don't worry about it. But I thought about it. I did think about it. But I'm not going to do that. So the idea that he had everybody, all the kids stand up on the, and it was a really amazing moment that they were all standing up there and looking around the room differently, you know? And it's what we're called to do in our life. We're called to engage with life creatively, which means get out of your own way. See it differently. Talk to someone who has a completely different background from you. Tell them your situation and see how they see it. Because we are called to see with a different perspective. That's living creatively. Einstein actually had a tactic that he called combinatory play, and which is the act of opening up one mental channel by dabbling in another. And so he would often play the violin when he was having difficulty solving a mathematical puzzle. And after a few hours of sonatas, he could usually find the answer he needed. So the idea of engaging in spirituality and in creativity as healing, it's try something different. If you are challenged in your finances, I want you to go and play with some clay. Right? I often tell people to have crayons or markers and a pad by your bed so that you can just color. To do something creative. When you're stuck in something and you're trying to figure it out, if you're having a hard time in your relationship and you're having a hard time communicating what your needs are, you need to get out of that situation and go do something creative. Now, again, we talked about how creative is not necessarily just artistic. Move your furniture around. And again, I'm sorry for anybody who's living with someone who keeps moving their furniture around because I tell them to try something new. All right? So I'm sorry about that. But try, you know, move your furniture around. Color. Having my child was the best thing ever because my whole house is filled with crayons. Still, I have like 8 million crayons in my house. But it seems like she keeps coming and getting mine. Like, I have the nice ones that are lined up and all color-coded and all of that, you know, in my set. And then they all end up in the big pile of bucket, you know. But just do something creative, which is just even the action of getting your hand in a color on the paper moves into a creative energy. And so it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what you come up with. But you're engaging in creativity in a different area. And then all of a sudden, you get your answer or your inspiration in the area that you're challenged. Sometimes it takes mixing it up like that in order to open that creative channel. Inspiration is always drawn to motion. The other thing that Elizabeth Gilbert, and I'm loving this book, Big Magic, this month. She says, she encourages us to do something that you love every day, all right? Something that you love every day, every day. And I hear people say, and again, I've got a big circle of moms that are like, yeah, right. Do you know what my life is like? I've got 5 kids, you know? Or do you know, I my work is so demanding, I can't even imagine, you know? But you deserve to have an hour, out of every day, engaging in something that you love. That energy is life energy. It's creative. It expands, and it inspires you. And so what it does is it reminds you that you are bigger, that you are connected, because what we love connects us to the divine. It connects us to that presence of who we are. And so when you're engaging in that, whether it's cooking, whether it's gardening, whether for me, I came home from the desert this weekend and I ran out and got my chickens out of their coop and they ran up the hill to see me. They were so happy. I mean, I was so in love with my chickens. This is like insane to me that how much I love these chickens. But that, so just even spending some time sitting there and being with my chickens, you know, finding something that you love that you can engage in every day, because what that does is it connects you with God. It connects you with the part of you that's bigger than you think you are. It connects you with a part of you that's creative. Love is a creative force. And we have to remember that it's important not only to think of these things, but to do them, because it engages us, mind, body, spirit, all of us, the totality of who we are in life itself. Elizabeth Gilbert says that you can support your soul's developing expressions by learning to nurture your true nature. This means that you make time to include what you love in your life. And when you do so, invigorated energy is caused to overflow into all areas of your life and affect everything. Now, my story about this, we just came back from Joshua Tree. That was a small group this year coming on our spiritual retreat, and it's always such a wonderful time. And she's not here today, but I want to thank Beth Haas for putting this together, as she does every year so powerfully, and Craig Hurst for bringing his telescope out so we could look. We looked at the sun today, that day, too, and saw the moon as it rose. It was such a beautiful time out in the desert. And I was talking to a couple of people, and I was telling them the story of part of my healing journey. And part of it for me was after I had gone through, so for those of you who don't know, I had a cancer diagnosis 4 years ago and went through a big, long breast cancer thing. And I'm glad to say that I've just had my fourth clean scan this week. So, yep. And so I can't say that you do what I did because I know how to do it right. You know, it's not like that. It's individual. Healing is individual for each and every one of us. And it's only in our own connection to that and our ability to be present with it that we can find our path in healing. And I firm well believe that there's no one way here, but it's your way. And you need to find within you what's going to call you forth into that healing energy. But doing something that you love. So I shared the story this weekend about how when I was in the middle of my treatment, I was starting radiation. It was the third of five crazy things I had to do. And I had already gone through chemo. I had already gone through the surgery. And I was starting radiation. And a girlfriend of mine called me and said, hey, my friend is starting a dance class tonight at 8 o'clock. I'm going to come get you. You're going to come dance. Now, I had danced for the first 25 years of my life, I was a dancer, and it had been 20 years exactly to when I stopped, and I was like, you're kidding, there's no way, I'm not getting in a leotard, that's not happening, there's no way, I've been 20 years, I'm not getting in tights, and she said, put sweatpants on and be outside of your house in 15 minutes, I'm coming, and I was like, oh, fine, so I put my sweatpants on and got a t-shirt and walked by my husband, said, I'm going out. And he said, where are you going looking like that? And I'm like, I'm going to dance class. She's making me go to dance class, you know. And I was exhausted. I had been in radiation. I was really tired. And I just was like, it was 8 o'clock at night on a Thursday. Are you kidding me? And I was like, ugh, dragging myself to this class. But even in that class, there's something that awoke in me and engaged me in such a way that my energy just rose, that I could see differently. That I remembered a part of me that was so long asleep that I loved that came forward. And when she came forward in me, she guided me through the rest of my treatment. And for a couple of years there, every Thursday night, I changed every class that I was teaching so that it wasn't on Thursday nights. I shifted my schedule around to do the thing that brought me alive the most. And it was taking a silly jazz class with all the mamas who had been dancers in our 20s, and we're now in our 40s and 50s, right? And when they decided that we were going to perform that year, I was like, oh, heck no. There's no way. Because I had no hair. It was just coming back. I was like, there's no possible way that I'm going to get up on stage in the state I'm in, you know? And the teacher said to me, she said, we're doing the 80s. I said, I'm in. Because I could do my little Pat Benatar hair, and I had my cutoff shirt, you know, and we danced to the My Sharona. It was hilarious, you know. But for me, it was the perfect path of healing because it was a creative endeavor that engaged me in life in another new way. And so I know that each one of us has something like that. There's something that brings you alive, and maybe it is something that you loved to do when you were a child. Maybe it was something from your teenage years. Maybe it's some part of you that you just don't make enough time for. But we are called to engage in life in such a way that allows that energy, that fresh energy, that presence of God to be alive as us. And that's a divine experience. We can think, oh yeah, I'm just painting. Or I'm just, you know, planting some roses or working on my rose garden. Or maybe whatever it is. Or I'm just making dinner for my family. But you are engaging in the divine creative process that was the same divine creative process that brought forth the universe. It was the same divine creative process that brought forth you. well, maybe not the exact same thing that brought forth you, but, you know, but maybe it is that for you. I don't know. Okay, bad joke. Okay, and then, but what it does is it engages us in such a way that it opens us to that fresh perspective and that energetic. And when we lean into the energetic of life, you can't not heal what you're challenged with. You can't not see things in a new way. You can't not see new possibility and potential. You can't avoid being a presence in life because it's got an expression as you. And so the idea here is that we're going to engage in life in such a deep, powerful way that you can't help but expand to shine your light brightly and to allow for those negative ideas, those negative thoughts, those things that we bury our truth under to burst out and just completely stop limiting you. It's through engaging in the creative process. And so my challenge for you this week, my invitation for you this week, is to realize that when you do engage in creativity, as it has been proven in many studies, that your well-being increases, that your positive ability to think increases, your emotions, your positive emotions expand, and your negative emotions decrease. We can have an amazing overhaul of our emotional state, of our physical being, and of our spiritual expression just by engaging in being a creative being in this world at this time. And so that's what I see and know for each and every one of us. God blesses everyone. Okay. And so let's invite John Foltz to come on back. No, I didn't stand on the piano.